Welcome to Scrolling, episode 124. I'm Ket, and Davius is absent today. He's on a business trip. We'll expect a full report when he comes back next time. But in his place, we have a special guest. So if you've played any BGs on PCNA here lately, you've likely been blown up by his Azure Beam Canist. He's a top-tier healer, one of the best healers I know in the game. And my favorite thing about this guy is he is ride or die to the end. This is absolutely somebody you want by your side riding into battle because he believes in himself and he believes in you. Ladies and gentlemen, my good friend, King Gnar. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me. Quite the introduction. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. I mean that. The ride or die thing, man. That's my favorite thing about playing with you because you have this confidence, you know, like, we'll pull up the scoreboard on a BG and we'll see some names of like players that I find to be intimidating. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go, guys. I don't know about this one. And King Gnar, you're always like, nah, we got this. These guys are pushovers. No big deal. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right, King Gnar. And it's like, I don't know. It's contagious. I like that.
Yes, sir.
And just to kind of get warmed up, I got a couple of questions I want to ask you to give people an idea of who you are. So first thing, just when did you start playing ESO?
I was actually a late bloomer to ESO. Okay. I played all the other Elder Scrolls game, but for some reason, I just never played Elder Scrolls Online. I heard from a friend when it first came out that it was dog water, and it kind of blew me off, so I just never got around to it until like 2019, 2020 is probably when I first started playing it on PlayStation. And then I probably switched over to PC like 2021-ish, somewhere in there.
That's like, so 2019, I think, is right when we started doing this podcast. So good time to get in.
Yeah.
Cool, man. So if you would, just give us, don't like go into detail about the builds or anything, but maybe just a quick rundown of your roster, what kind of builds you have, and also, do you have a main? I don't really associate you with a specific main, but if you have one, let us know what that is.
Yeah, so I think I have 11 total characters, two Sorcs, two Templars, two Wardens, two DKs, Nightblade, a Necro, and an Arcanist. And yeah, I mean, I don't really consider myself to have a main character these days. I just kind of play on whatever the group needs. We play a lot of group BGs, so I'm just kind of that flex person these days, kind of do whatever.
Yeah, I noticed that about you, because I've asked you that before, like, King Gnar, what even is your main? Because I feel like I never really see you on any one thing for a super long period of time.
Yeah, I guess if I had to associate myself to a main, most people would probably refer to my PvP healer, Grand Champion Heals, the Warden healer, but that I don't really have a main these days, and no offense to Davius, none of my characters are Nords. I'm just gonna put that out there.
No Nords.
No, none of my characters.
You call yourself
are
a goon, sir.
I feel bad, but no, yeah, it's just just kind of play everything. Try to play everything.
Nice, man. Yeah, same here. I have at least two of everything. Three DKs. That's the best way. I mean, if you're trying to play PvP, there is no substitute for understanding your enemy because you've done it yourself, right? If you're fighting a Dragon Knight, you've spent some time on a Dragon Knight yourself. You know what they're thinking. You know what they're doing.
Yep.
There's nothing else can substitute for that experience.
Exactly.
Public test server version 10.0.0. It's up. Finally. I think we can actually log into it now.
Yep. Sure can.
It went live yesterday, but it was unavailable for maintenance. There was some like major technical issue going on, but it's fixed now. So this is the upcoming Gold Road chapter. It's releasing June 3rd on PC. It'll be 2 weeks after that on the consoles. King Gnar, what are your hype levels for this? Like 1 to 10. What are your hype levels for this chapter?
I would say I'm gonna give it a solid like 8.5, 9. I'm pretty hyped about it. Yeah, I'm be honest, I'm pretty hyped about it.
Pumped about spellcrafting? Scribing?
Yeah, scribing, just like the different skill effects that we're going to have, like it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's going to be sick.
It's something I've been wanting for a while. It's super popular in other games, so I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to say I'm like maybe hype levels like 7.5 is kind of where I'm at.
You're getting there.
Like Somerset to me is like hype levels are like at 10, you know, and then maybe like, I don't know, Greymoor was like maybe like a 4. So, yeah, we're like 7.5. That's pretty good. I think that's plenty of room where, like, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm doing good, but there's plenty of room for me to be surprised and delighted. Hey, maybe I'll be at a 9 or more by the time it's all said and done. So let's just do a rundown of these patch notes. Of course, we're not going to read every single thing. I just picked out the juicy nugs here. So we're getting this new zone, the West Weld, not Weald, right? Weld,
yeah,
I think is how it's pronounced.
Yeah, I would say Weld. Yeah, Weld.
And so it's going to be these like golden fields, very autumn kind of vibes. If you've played Elden Ring, it reminds me of the Altus Plateau.
Which is cool, because we've had
super cool
every other single season in ESO besides that.
Yeah, that's one they haven't really... I think the Rift is close to that, but it's not like really like super saturated the way this one is.
Yeah.
So they're really exploring that kind of biome. I'm really looking forward to that, just exploring that zone and stuff. Do you do a lot of questing in this game, King?
Yeah. One of my Templars is... that's like the other thing I like to do outside of PvP is PvE and just go around on my solo Templar and try to conquer the game. So, yeah.
I forgot to ask you my third question up there. We skipped right over. What's your favorite thing to do in ESO besides PvP?
Yeah, just...
Which is PvE, right?
PvE, yeah. And just try to go through the little dungeon and trial trifectas and stuff and just do solo stuff.
124 episodes. I'm still figuring this podcast thing out. So, all right. Anyway... So yeah, we got the new zone. It's going to be really awesome to explore that. Of course, there's going to be a new trial called the Lucent Citadel. I think something interesting about that, they gave us like a preview live stream last week, and they said that the final boss fight is not like a typical boss fight. They said they kept using like finger quotes when they said boss fight, and they said get ready to run a lot. And they also said something like they're looking for new ways to challenge players. So I don't think it's going to be like a boss with a health bar that you're DPSing. It seems like there's maybe going to be some sort of like big puzzle situation
I wonder if it will tie into the Endless Archive. Like, you know how like you have a floor, you got to go through and clear it. Then you go to the next one. Like, I wonder if it's going to be kind of like that. You got to go through, clear the floors and floors and floors until you have cleared it all.
I can see that. Being like some stages or something like that. They said, get ready to run. I know that. So a new trial coming up. And then of course, yeah, we have this, the kind of the big new feature, which is scribing, AKA, I keep wanting to call it spell crafting. Cause that's really what it is. Right. They're calling it scribing. 11 new customizable skills. And with all the different kind of customizing options, they say there are over 4,000 unique combinations of like different things you can make,
which is crazy. Like, we don't have enough stuff to do already.
Yeah, we're already seeing in the Discord like people posting screenshots from the PTS of like insane skills that they're making. Like one that uses that consumes soul gems to deal oblivion damage, and it's like a lot of oblivion damage, which I think is super cool. Consuming soul gems to
right?
to deal oblivion damage is an awesome idea. And someone, shout out to Sudika, she did the math. It's like if you're proccing that skill on cooldown, that's going to consume like 300 soul gems per BG. So I mean, you're actually going to be like wanting to hoard those stacks of soul gems if you're using that skill.
No more deconning soul gems, guys.
Yeah, just keep for real. I mean, that's like a lot. Like if you're really using that set a lot, I mean, you're gonna like because right now like soul gems are useless. Like they're just like you're just like falling out of your pockets, you know? Anyway, that's interesting. Is there a certain kind of skill you're like hoping that you're going to be able to make for one of your builds or anything?
Man, I don't even know. I haven't even been on the PTS yet to look at it. Like I said, it's a lot. I'm pretty sure I'll venture on there and see what I can conjure up. But I mean, 4,000 potential combinations, I'm sure we'll be able to come up with something.
Yeah. The one thing I'm hoping that I can make for my main, my Templar, Old Betsy, is I want an AoE pulse ability, kind of like Solar Barrage or Blade Cloak, like that type of ability that gives me snare removal and minor expedition.
That'd be clutch.
If I can have all those things going on, I'll be like freaking cruising on Betsy. She'll literally be perfect at that point. But I mean, I'll be surprised if that's not possible, honestly. There's a ton of possibilities.
Oh, yeah. Looking at that, some of the ones that they've sent in there, I see I think it's called a sigil. I believe that has, gives Minor Expedition for 10 seconds.
Yeah, I know Minor Expedition is a thing. I don't know if snare removal is a thing, and I don't know if there's like an AoE pulse kind of damage over time option. So, but we'll see. So yeah, that's scribing. I'm sure we'll have a lot more. Probably on the next episode, we'll probably have a deep dive on the scribing once I can actually log into the PTS and play around with it a bit. So we'll dig into that next time. Also skill styling. This is pretty cool. There's 22 new, basically skins of existing skills. So for example, Wall of Elements, you can make it purple.
Yes, dope.
Yeah, super cool. The Meteor Ultimate, they showed that off on that preview stream. You can turn it orange, so it's just like, it looks like fire. Yeah, anyway, there's 22 total different ones, and they're all earnable in-game. I think they made a point of saying they're not like Crown Store things.
Yeah, this is something I was looking forward to for a long time. I've actually been saying this for years now, probably ever since I started playing Elder Scrolls Online, is like, why can't I change how my abilities look? Is popular in so many other games I've played, so it's about time.
Yeah, and that's an easy thing. I mean, just change the color. I mean, they're not like making a new animation or anything like that. Seems like it's like easy work for them to do.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll be able to change the color of your noxious breath on a DK. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Oh yeah, what color do we want? Purple.
Yeah, purple. I was gonna say like a purple, yeah. Like a magenta.
Oh, nice. Magenta, yeah, like a neon pink kind of.
Yeah,
thing.
I think that'd be pretty cool,
dude. I still want to make the like rainbow breath DK build that uses, what is it? You use the green breath, you use the Ashen Grip set, and you use Marcelok monster set.
Yeah,
and you have three different colors of fire breath happening. So that's skill styling, and there's a bunch of new armor sets. Right, this is a huge expansion. So we have crafted sets, we have overland sets, the new trial, there's new sets with that, ton of new sets,
mythics,
there's three new mythics. We're not going to talk about all of them, but we're going to pick out two a piece to talk about here. So I'll go first. We'll just go back and forth, King. I'll talk about one and then you'll talk about one. We'll go like that.
Copy that.
So first one I have is Macabre Vintage. It's a medium armor overland set. And the 2-4 piece are all weapon and spell damage all the way down. Plus the 5 piece gives you an extra 150 weapon and spell damage. Already, pretty sweet set. And then the real 5 piece bonus is when you kill a monster, they burst with blood magic, dealing 50% of their max health to enemies within 6 meters as bleed damage. Maximum of 24,096. That cannot critically strike, and that can happen every 0.5 seconds, every half second. So my first thought with that was just that that's like a endless archive or just any kind of like arena or mob farming kind of set, right? Like every 0.5 seconds, anything that dies is going to explode for half their health worth of damage to everyone around them. It seems like a lot.
Yeah, that's actually bonkers. I feel like that would be good in endless archive, especially in the early stages. I think it would go crazy.
Yeah, really great for endless archive or just like XP farming.
Maybe pair it with like Azerblight or something, just freaking everything or, up.
I guess Plague Break doesn't work for PvE anymore, but that would have been nice. But yeah, that was my first thought. Is like this is my infinite archive build most likely.
I think the one I'm going to talk about, of course, I would say I'm mainly a support player. One of the ones that stuck out to me, it's a trial set, but it's called Lucent Echoes. It's a heavy set. The three pieces kind of, not important. It gives minor Aegis at all times. It's not important for PvP. But the 2-piece, you get 4% healing taken. The 4-piece, you get 1200 max health, and the 5th piece is while you have more than 50% health, you increase the critical damage and healing of your group members by 11%, which is pretty major. I feel like that's a lot.
Critical damage and healing.
You're providing both, and then I'm pretty sure you can stack that with other buffs that boost that even higher. So I feel like it should be a good support set. And then after that, which is irrelevant as well, but while you're below 50% health, you just take reduced damage from monsters. So That's the other bad part. But I feel like it may be interesting to try and throw in a support build.
Yeah, especially for like a trial group or something where you're just trying to stack that crit damage as high as you can. And this is a unique, unnamed source, so it'll be able to stack with, you know, anything else. Seems good. All right, well, my next one is Threads of War. It's a crafted set. It gives you a line of max stamina, a line of weapon and spell damage, a line of max magicka, and then the five-piece. Your light and fully charged heavy attacks, so not medium attacks. That's interesting. Your light and fully charged heavy attacks gain 100% status effect chance. The status effect is based on the damage type of your weapon. What's interesting about that is normally light and heavy attacks cannot apply any statuses. It's 0% chance.
Yeah.
So we're going from a 0% chance to a guaranteed chance. Every single light and fully charged heavy attack, only the fully charged ones, will apply a status effect. Seems pretty strong.
Yeah, especially like with, PvP build. With how the statics, status effect changes have been lately. It's going to go crazy. It's going to be very good.
Yeah. You think you're always light attack weaving, so every single global cooldown, you're not only, you know, it's applying the status every time. So stuff like Draugrkin and Dragon's Appetite and stuff like that will really benefit from that a lot. I think that could be really good.
Yeah, just stack a whole bunch of different status effects. What the Ellie Sus gives 3, and you just do dual wield, you got 2 more.
Yeah.
Should be crazy. Will be crazy.
Yeah, those Draugrkin builds where you're just trying to do as many instances of damage per global cooldown as possible. You know, this is a great way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, King, you have one more?
Yeah, the next one I wanted to talk about is a new mythic. I like the name of it, the Saint and the Seducer. It's a necklace, but while in combat, you gain one of the 5 random major buffs. And they change every 10 seconds. It's kind of like Daedric Trickery, except it's one piece, which I feel like will come in clutch, especially for DK, because we know they need a little bit of help right now. Trying to play solo TK is rough.
Yeah, it is.
But then also enemies in 12 meters gain 5 random minor debuffs, depending on which buff you have. So Major Berserk. You get the enemy would get minor maim, etc. But I was thinking about pairing that with Ken Marchers. I feel like that would go crazy.
I think it was our friend Uncle Sam who was saying in the Discord Ken Marcher and Daedric Trickery with this, and then I made a comment we could call it a faith build because it's just, you know, whatever happens, you know,
we'll go with it. Have a bunch of stuff. So now I'm interested in that. I feel like it would be really good, so I'll probably farm that out ASAP.
Yeah, that seems really cool. So it's neat that you don't really have to do anything. Just while in combat, it's just constantly rotating these major buffs. So it's rotating through Major Berserk, Major Resolve, Major Force, Major Evasion, Major Courage. And then, yeah, there's corresponding minor debuffs. So if you have the Major Berserk, then all enemies within 12 meters will have minor maim.
Yep.
If you have the Major Resolve, then all enemies around you will have minor breach. If you have Major Force, they'll have minor brittle. If you have major evasion, they'll have minor vulnerability. If you have major courage, they'll have minor cowardice.
It's crazy. And that's
that's interesting.
It's actually why I stopped wearing Daedric Trickery on my DK, because I didn't want to waste the 5 piece on randomness. But since it's just one piece, I'll go for it. You know,
I'll do one piece for that.
So I feel like it's going to be super good.
And plus, it's a major buff and a minor debuff guaranteed all the time. Let's see, Major Berserk. So I wish Major Resolve was not one of those.
Yeah, because it's so easily accessible.
Well, when you don't, like, you're still going to slot your armor buff.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Have to have it.
When that's not the one you have, you still have to have it. I wish that was not there. The others
everything
are
else is perfect, yeah.
Hey, we still have a lot to go on PTS. They could change that. I think they should. I think that Major Resolve should be something different. And otherwise, if they do that, we have a really cool thing.
What do you think? What would you say the replacement to that would be?
Protection. That'd be easy, you know. Major protection, give them minor, and keep the minor breach even.
Yeah.
That'd work, yeah.
That would That's be would broken. Do. If it was protection, that'd be crazy. That'd be good.
Or, I mean, I don't know. They could think of something. I don't get paid to think of the ideas, you know. But my major resolve is just such a waste. That's going to be completely just wasted whenever that's the buff that you have.
Yeah, agree.
So anyway, there's a bunch more sets. Those are just the four we picked out to talk about. A bunch of really cool ones, too. I was reading through them. I think actually quite a lot of these new sets will be used by people.
Yeah, I mean, the craftable sets are pretty good. I was looking at the other ones. They're pretty good.
Dude, they've kind of been knocking it out of the park with crafted sets lately. I have multiple builds that are just all crafted gear.
Same. Probably most of them all contain Wretched, right?
I mean, Wretched, yeah. Order's Wrath, Kvatch Gladiator. There's a bunch of good ones. Dragon's Appetite, another great one.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some combat and balance changes. Not as many as you might expect for like a big chapter. I feel like they've been saying this for like 2 years. They give like a big preface saying like, all right, there's not going to be a whole lot of changes this time, guys. And they did give us another one of those. It's not a ton, but Necro's got a little something. Their Shocking Siphon, that's the damage tether. The base ability increased the damage by 33%. They say that's so that it'll be in alignment with other ground dots. Right now it's balanced like a sticky dot. Now they're balancing it like a ground dot, basically. And then the healing tether, restoring tether, the base ability, they're buffing it by 14%. Or by 14%. So the damage one is 33% buff, the healing one is a 14% buff. So that's it for Necromancer. I think that's pretty much going to put them in good shape right there. That's all they really needed.
Because Lord knows Necro needs it. They need it.
Yeah, the Grizzly Con in the chat says tethers are dumb. I think that's the main thing is, man, the tethers need to be really good because they really suck to use in general. So you really need to be getting a major benefit from them. I think that even that's still not enough. The damage one especially, I mean, I guess in PvE it's fine.
Yeah.
In PvP, I mean, you just don't stand in the tether. You know?
Yeah, it's not viable.
The healing one is not bad. But so that's Necro's Nightblades, the Dark Shade ability, just that morph. I think that's the one, that's the not teleport one.
Correct.
It only does an AoE attack now. It doesn't do the single target attack. And they changed the visual for that AoE so that it looks like power extraction rather than whirling blades. For Templar, this one's pretty cool, actually. Blazing Spear now has an immobilize.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. The initial, I think it's 4 seconds. 4 second immobilize.
Yeah. The initial hit will immobilize people for 4 seconds. Now, that initial hit itself has a cooldown, keep in mind, because they changed it so that you cannot use it as a spammable, because that's what people were doing. I want to say that maybe that is a 4 second cooldown. Like, it will only deal the initial damage once every few seconds. Just keep that in mind.
What would you sacrifice that for? I know you play your Templar a lot. Are you going to try and squeeze that into one of your builds? Or?
Yeah, there's a good chance. I would probably drop Solar Barrage for that, for my build, the way I have my build set up.
I think that's a fair trade.
And I probably will try it. I don't know if it'll fit like with the playstyle, because that's like a ground effect, and everything else on old Betsy's build is like stuck to her, you know? Like,
yeah.
She moves and it moves with her, so kind of doesn't really go with that. But I think I at least have to try. That's a really great tool to have in the toolkit there, an AoE root. And then for werewolves are actually getting some pretty good stuff here. So both versions of the werewolf transformation, the light and heavy attacks now deal bleed damage instead of physical damage. And they have a chance to apply the hemorrhaging status. Remember, light and heavy attacks normally do not apply statuses at all, but now werewolves do. So regular light attacks have a 3% chance, medium attacks are 5%, and fully charged heavy attacks are 10% chance to apply statuses. The hemorrhaging status. The Roar, I don't play werewolf, so I'm kind of ignorant about a lot of this stuff. The Roar and Ferocious Roar morph apply a new unique debuff called Terrified. And really all that is just a tracking tool. If someone is terrified, I don't really know what it looks like, but the way they describe it in the notes, it puts like a visual marker on them to help you keep track of them. And then the Deafening Roar morph passively gives major protection instead of your major crit buff, and it also causes your heavy attacks to taunt. So werewolf tanks incoming. And then we have a piercing howl. The base ability and all the morphs deal an additional 10% damage to terrified targets, rather than targets that are facing you, which is how it is right now. And then the howl of agony morph adds another 10% if they're off balance. So that's cool. There's this new terrified thing. So you hit someone with roar or ferocious roar. I guess ferocious roar, right? No one's just using the base ability.
Yeah.
So you hit someone with ferocious roar. They're going to be terrified now. So they have like this marker on them. So it's going to be easier for you to like focus that target and stay on them. And then your piercing howl ability and all of its morphs are going to be dealing additional damage to that specific target. Kind of neat.
I think I'm kind of excited for this because I remember a time where you would be scared to enter like IC or Cyrodiil sometimes just because you knew there was an army of werewolves out there and they were a problem. And it's been a long time since that's happened, so I'm curious to see if we'll see some werewolves out there in the field. Now
you're right, it has been a while, but there was a period of time when werewolves were scary, man. Like I did not want to get into a 1v1 with any werewolf.
I think it was like before they did the health recovery change. I remember I had a werewolf build, it had 5k plus health recovery, so literally you just could not die, and it was the greatest. It was fun.
I remember those freaking werewolves, man. You could not kill them, and they had a ton of damage too.
Yeah,
I think it must be hard to balance them because they're either terrible or really, really good. I feel like I never just see pretty good werewolves. That's werewolves. Hopefully that helps them out. And there's some other minor stuff. I'm not going to go over the details because I don't think it's going to be super impactful, but some minor stuff for Arcanist, Dragon Knight, Warden, Sorcerers, some little things. You might glance over the patch notes if you're curious about those. I don't think it's going to be a game changer for any of them, though. And then some other base game changes. There's some mail quality of life stuff. They're kind of reorganizing how mail works. I think stuff's going to expire a lot sooner. I think like a lot of like there, it's like depends on the type of mail that it is. If it's like a system message or it comes from a player or if it's from a hireling or whatever, they're going to expire at different rates and things like that. So I think hopefully your mail will just be clearer and not getting clogged up all the time.
Yeah, I know Uncle Sam definitely is in dire need of this change because his mailbox has been full for like 2 years.
Something about PvPers are the worst. They never, ever, ever empty their mail.
I'm a stifler for it. Like, I clear my mailbox religiously. Like, I do not, like, when I log on, I only want to see my crafting mail deliveries. Like, that's all I want to see.
Yeah, that's part of my routine. At the end of every play session, I end my play session by clearing out my mail, and then I log off.
Have to.
Yeah. There's this new healing immunity indicator on health bar. So, for example, if somebody is wearing Ring of the Pale Order in your group, you'll be able to see by looking at their health bar that you're not able to heal them. I don't know what that's going to look like, but that's pretty cool.
I think I'll appreciate that, being a healer. I guess you could say main, because it's so frustrating when you're just spamming like a polar winds and their health is not going up. And you're like, what's going on here? And it's like, oh, they probably have on Pale Order.
Same here. I mean, I'm not even a healer main, but I'll just be on my Templar and I'll see a teammate that needs a heal and I'll like drain my Magicka bar completely empty before I realize like, oh, I can't heal them. Okay. So that'll be good. And then Rush of Agony is in the patch notes. I don't know if it kind of got nerfed, but it kind of got buffed also. So I don't know how it's going to play out. But here we go. This set now has an 800 millisecond delay before attempting to pull targets. They say that's to increase the amount of reaction time enemies have before they are yanked. The pull now properly interacts as a projectile with a minimum travel time of 200 milliseconds and animates the pull appropriately to reduce the feeling of rubber banding. And then they increased the radius. So we can't just nerf it. Okay. We also increased the radius to 12 meters instead of 10 meters to help offset some of the reductions just to offset some of those nerfs, basically, is what they're saying. They have weird wording. The delayed damage remains unchanged, still happens after 2 seconds, and it deals damage within a 7-meter radius. So basically, there's just a bit more of a delay before it starts pulling people, and then they increase the radius. I think it's actually overall buffed.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like it's a buff in a way, because a lot of people that use Rush and know how to use Rush of Agony very well, the key is timing the damage that it procs with and coming back to your target to blow it up on them. And that little delay, I feel like, is going to make that easier to achieve, because it's not always easy to do. Like, especially on a sort that uses it, you hit them with crit charge to pull them in with a rush, and then you streak through them, and then you have to run all the way back to them to pop it on them. So yeah. I feel like that little delay will—it's a buff.
Do you know if that pull can be blocked? Like, if you're blocking, does it still pull you?
You can block it, I believe.
With that extra 800 millisecond delay, maybe you'll see them use that gap closer, and you'll have a little bit more reaction time to throw that block up. Could be one little thing. That's pretty much all I had that I wanted to talk about in the patch notes. Was there anything else you wanted to hit on, King, before we take a little break here?
No, it's there's a lot to cover. It's a pretty big update, so.
Yeah, I was hoping I would be able to log into the PTS and play around with some of this stuff, but it wasn't accessible pretty much at all.
Yeah, I think there was like a while ago. Crazy exploit. We won't talk about it, but pretty crazy.
Let's talk about some PvP. We've been playing some PvP. The main thing in Battlegrounds that you'll notice is sure are a lot of Sorks still. and they're just spamming those shields. You know, shout out to Six. He said something that really rung true with me the other day. He said, you know, you really can't tell the good ones from the bad ones because they're all just doing the same thing. They just spam that shield all the time.
Yep.
That was like the one remaining squishy target. Now literally nobody dies, including the Sorks. Like, it's they're among the more difficult people to kill, actually.
Yeah, it's actually ridiculous. I think earlier the fellas were in a BG and they ran into a 4 Sork team. Just,
oh, that's not good.
Just all shielding, haunting, cursing, overcharging. You know, it's a lot of pressure to take.
Ah, dude, we've done the 4 Sork squad before. That can be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was amazing, actually.
Yeah, but if you're planning to step into some PvP, you have to be taking Sorks into account in your build. Just keep that in mind. Brawling is pretty hard right now. Kingnar, you alluded to that earlier. Dragon Knights are having a pretty tough time, especially in the solo queue. If you're a DK, you know, just be prepared for that. DKs. Kind of something that's always been true about them is they're very reliant on their team, and their success is, you know, very much often can depend on what kind of team they're on. And right now, if you find yourself without any kind of support or without any kind of competent teammates to kind of go into battle with you, it's just tough because there's all these Sorks, you're getting range down. You know, DKs have really no answer to that. Like, one Sork is easy lunch. You know, a DK has no problem with one or even two Sorks. But if there's like 4 or 5 enemy Sorks, I mean, they're just coming at you from all angles. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, it could be rough. I took my DK off the shelf a little bit. I mean, you mentioned him earlier, Six. He inspired me to play my DK some more. And
he's an inspiring player.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, it was hard. Harder than I remember it to be.
It's hard. Six makes it look good. Yeah, like, you like see a player like that, and like, man, I want to play DK. And then you jump in there, and it's a different story, man. And it is for me, too. I was doing the same thing. I was playing a little DK, and I jumped off. I was like, no, I'll wait for another patch to play DK. This is not it right here. I mean, in pre-mades or something, if I know I have a healer with me, sure. But in the solo queue, no thanks. Not right now. Because it's not just the sorcs. It's also the all the dots and status effects. Like, those kinds of builds are really popular, too. And, you know, even though DKs, you know, they typically are dot builds themselves, they actually don't, like, fare very well against those kinds of builds. You know, like, if they get a lot of dots on them, they can struggle in that situation too. So that combined with the sorcs and all that stuff, just don't play a DK in the solo queue unless you're ready to work for it. We've been kind of getting into pre-mades here lately. We've been kind of starting to get serious about pre-mades.
Yeah,
you know?
We never have. We just always kind of just grouped with whatever we've had on, and always seem to, you know, make it work, do decent. But yeah, as of late, like you said, we've starting to kind of take it a little bit more serious and think it out a little bit more.
Yeah, we found ourselves a kind of a core squad of like six people. I mean, of course, a team is only four people, but some people flex in and out. And we have like our little private Discord channel, and we've been talking out, you know, theory crafting squads, and actually been practicing jumping into some games and seeing some real legitimate progress week after week, like playing some serious teams that, you know, we struggle against that are some serious, really good teams, and we can see ourselves improving. And we see like the, okay, this didn't work. We don't need this ability. What we do need is this ability. Let's get this monster set in the group because we were having a hard time with this thing, you know, and it's cool to see that pay off, you know, like we're learning those lessons. We're seeing the things that we need to change. We make those adjustments, and then indeed, it is better. You know, we are getting better. That is cool. We've been trying a few different comps. The main one I think that we're going for is our friend Maddie. Shout out to Maddie on a standard Warden healer using Olorima, Wretched, and Ozazan. Uncle Sam's Icy Claws Warden build, which is like a 50-50 Warden using Ice Furnace and the Maelstrom Frost Staff, and he won't tell me the rest. Because he doesn't want me to talk about it on the podcast.
I kind of fish it. I even tried to pay him the 500K. He always tells people
he's keeping a lid on that one.
Yeah, he told me 50 mil. I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, this he's got some super secret special sauce on this build that he's keeping a tight lid on. He doesn't. We know. Yeah, Ice Furnace and Maelstrom Frost stuff is kind of the key part, but
it's probably Wretched.
We don't know the rest.
It's probably Wretched.
Probably just Wretched. I mean, once upon a time, it was Rally and Cry. So, I mean, it definitely could be that, and that would be just fine. Then we have our buddy Six, we just talked about on a Dragonite using Plague Break and Marsalok and Rally and Cry. And then Kingnar, we have you on an Arcanist with Azure Blight, Deadly Strikes, and Baylor, right?
Yep, and Maelstrom Ice Staff on the back bar.
Maelstrom Ice Staff, okay. Sometimes I'll flex in. I'll be in place of Six's DK. I'll be on my Templar. But pretty much that's the squad. It's been going pretty good. I don't really know what else to say about it. That's just, you know, we've been getting into pre-mades. There's probably more to come. We're just now starting to kind of get into it and figure it out. And I think we still have quite a bit to learn. You know, just judging from our experience going up against these other experienced teams and stuff, we still have quite a bit to learn, but I can tell that we are getting there. Speaking of your Arcanist build, Kingnar, you want to talk a little bit about your Arcanist build?
Yeah, it's definitely in need of group support, that's for sure. You're not going to catch me out here 1v1 in or X in a group. It's just not happening. I need a support to keep me up and keep the damage flowing, but If that happens, the damage is quite redonkulous, thanks to to a set. Azur Blight, everybody probably knows it. You see that blue burst of damage going out on a bunch of people. That's what that is, and it's procced by damage over time abilities. It can't be procced by sets or anything else. It has to be ability that you proc that's damage over time.
It can't be a status, like burning status won't
do it.
Yeah,
it can't. None of that. And I found that it meshes very well with Arcanist because the beam ability counts as a damage over time ability.
And it ticks really fast.
It ticks
too,
really
it?
Fast. It's like every 0.4 seconds you get a stack of blight seed. So over the course of 4 seconds, you've popped it, which is pretty crazy.
Man,
so
that's nice.
You throw that in with, you know, the beam, the cow trap. Sometimes I'll throw down, and then the wall of elements with the maelstrom staff. You know, you're popping azure blight pretty quick.
Being able to pop azure blight that quick is tough. Because what is it, like 20 stacks you got to build up?
Yeah, 20 stacks.
And like you said, it's got to be a damage over time ability, not a status or anything like that. And it's hard. It's actually hard. It's a difficult set to use in PvP.
Yeah, but
that beam kind of makes up for it.
It does. And then the ultimate as well. That big eye that drops the beam out the sky and follows people. Everybody hates it. That procs it as well. It's considered a damage over time, and that thing does so much damage. If you could just group and keep people still for a second, it is ridiculous. They will pop.
I'm gonna copy that build. I'm honestly my Arcanist has just been chilling doing nothing. I've been trying to think of like what to do with it. I just need to do that.
It's good. It has its own like rushed like ability. A lot of people use the other morph, which can synergize with everybody else, but I use the one that pulls people in and stuns them. To kind of group them up to where we want them to be and just let the damage unfold.
Yeah, it's fun. And that beam is fun to use, too. Really.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
So I've been playing mostly solos. I mean, we've been doing our pre-mades on Friday nights, but otherwise I've been focusing on solo builds. And I've been sort of searching for the build that feels comfortable to me in this meta, in this Update 41 environment that we're in, which, like we were just saying, it's a lot of sorks and it's a lot of dot and status effect builds. That's generally kind of what you need to be prepared for jumping into battlegrounds. So there's a couple of builds that I've found I've been gravitating to that I'm having generally an easy time with and having fun pretty consistently. First one is my ranged Templar. Templar in general, even a melee Templar, actually does pretty good. But Range Plower in particular, I think, is it's a really good time to be playing that. So the build that I'm using right now is very basic. It's just Order's Wrath as a double bar set, Wretched Vitality back bar with a bow, Master's Lightning Staff on the front bar, Gaze of Sithis Mythic Helm, and One Piece Magma. So, I mean, a very, very standard, you know, meat and potatoes build. And the combo is very standard, too. I just hit them with Degeneration to get my weapon and spell damage buff, and then it's Lightning Reach and 3 Force Pulses, right? Lightning Reach activates the Master Staff, and then I just cast 3 Force Pulses until time to reactivate the Master Staff with Lightning Reach, and I just go back and forth with those. And when they get low, I hit them with the Javelin, and I execute them with the Beam, or if I have my ultimate, I'll drop the Meteor on them, and then Javelin and Beam.
Yep. You get so much damage from the Master Staff. It's actually crazy how much weapon damage you get from it.
Yeah, 600, and 600 pre-buffed, you know, and that goes straight to your stat sheet. And it's such a basic combo. You know, you just, after you put that degen on them, it's just Lightning Reach, 3 Force Pulses. Lightning Reach, 3 Force Pulses. That's all you're doing.
So much pressure, too. It's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure, yeah. And as soon as they start getting low, you know, I use 3 Bloodthirsty, and as soon as they start getting low, you know, they know you have that beam, you know, just waiting.
And they fall for it every time. You can't beat the beam.
Can't beat
especially
that beam.
If you have a couple brawlers in there, just, you know, duking it out, and you're just sitting back, just beam, beam, beam.
Yeah, and because it's a ranged plar, you know, you can fight against all those sorks that are out there, you know, you can toss stuff right back at them. You're not just a sitting duck, sitting there letting them DPS you. You have that cleanse, so all the dot builds, the status builds, all that stuff, not really a problem. It's a very good spec to be playing right now. They're just kind of prepared for whatever you might run into, and all the frustrating stuff about this meta right now. They have answers to those things.
Yeah, agree.
And then the other build that I've been having a really easy time with, not surprisingly probably, is a Warden. It's a hybrid Warden build. And that build's really basic also, which is Winterborn as a double bar set, Wretched on the back bar with a bow, the Master's Frost Staff on the front bar, Sithis Helm and One Piece Magma. So basically the same build, except we just put Winterborn and a Master's Frost Staff in there. And that combo is also really simple. You just cast Sub-Assault, Elisus, Frost Clench, and then three Cliff Racers, or Force Pulls, whichever. But I go back and forth. They're both good.
I think that set, that build, was like actually really similar to mine that I was running for a little bit of time. I think I had Ice Furnace, Winterborn, and then I did Master's Ice Staff front bar, and then a Maelstrom Ice Staff back bar. So no mythics, no monster sets. And it was on my Warden.
That would be super strong.
And it was good back. Right before they changed the sustain that it took for the slab, it kind of messed it up a little bit. You could probably still get away with it. It's a little bit harder if you're solo because it's hard to sustain, but it was good. I had a blast on it. It did great.
So I actually do use crystallized slab on mine. So mine is a hybrid build, so I have a very even mix of magicka and stamina costing abilities. I am using Wretched. I do use a sustained Mundus. So I'm able to sustain it pretty easily. It's not really much of a problem for me. And I do think that's the best reason to be playing Warden right now, is that specific build, that specific ability.
Yeah, so good.
The crystallized slab.
You need it too with all the sorks out there, just like we talked about. It's just you have to have.
Yeah.
It is essential.
You got to have an answer to the sorks. And this is probably the best answer in the game. Two sorcerers. So crystallized slab is that it's those like ice shields that float around you, and it absorbs projectiles and it shoots an ice ball back at the person, and it stuns them.
Yes.
And you can just keep that thing up, and a sorcerer just literally can't land an attack on you. They're just like DPSing themselves the whole time. So very, very good. The damage, you know, wardens in general don't have a ton of finishing power. The damage is decent, like the pressure is decent, but you probably are going to want to have a sorcerer or a Templar or somebody on your team to finish those kills for you. But just being a warden, it's really fun to play because they have that sort of Swiss Army knife. You know, they can heal a teammate, they can provide the pressure, they have some crowd control and all that kind of stuff. And in general, it's just an easy class to play in this meta. You know, all the heals and stuff, they can counter the dots and statuses and all that stuff pretty easily. So yeah, Range Plar and a hybrid warden. Those are the ones that I've been having an easy time with. scrollinpodcast@gmail.com. That's our email address. If you'd like to send us an email, that's where you can send them. So on the last episode, I said that we're getting rid of the email prize because we're out of gold. But then Danjamin wouldn't let us get away with it. He made another extremely generous donation. We have a ton of gold again. Even more than we had the last time. So thank you so much, Danjamin. Really appreciate it. So the prize is back, and to celebrate, we're going to make it a big one this time. We're giving away 2 million gold. And Kingnar, since Davius isn't here this time, you're going to have to pick the email that you like the best at the end, and that's the person that's going to get it.
Oh, put me on the spot. Okay.
That's right. First one comes from the man himself, Danjavin, and this is a mail in-game. This is the mail he sent to let me know that the donation has been sent. He says, "Reach deep into the squirrel, and you're going to get a handful of nuts. Thanks to you and Davius for putting in the hard yards, Bill Brasky."
Winner.
Awesome. Yeah. There's like so many like references to old episodes packed in such a short little email right there. That was great. Thank you so much, Danjavin, man. And I mean, again, this dude has been basically keeping the guild and keeping the podcast afloat from day one with various donations over the years. Thank you so much, dude. Next email comes from Golden Elf. Golden Elf says, "Hey, scrollers, what's your opinions on a plague/disease-centric class? I imagine three skill lines would be one, disease damage dealing abilities and passives. 2, summoning creatures associated with plagues, for example, skeevers, hungers, etc. And then 3, a support line where their heals, buffs, and debuffs take the form of tonics and poisons. Think Minecraft splash potions. I don't play Minecraft, so I don't know. But with passives allowing you to share a weaker version of your potion's effect with nearby allies. And the Golden Elf goes on to say, where Arcanist is connected to Apocrypha, the Plague Doctor could be linked with Periite. Thoughts? Periite's, I think, like a god of disease or something like that. Hey, what are you thinking?
I think it's pretty dope. I think another summoner class would be a cool addition.
Should we just delete Necro, you think?
I mean, they fucked up the Stalking Blast Bone, so... yeah, we might as well try to start over on that.
Yeah, let's just delete the necromancer. We'll introduce this plague slinger class, and that'll just kind of be the new necro, and they'll do it right this time.
Yeah. Oh, poor necro.
I like it. Yeah, I do think that would be cool, but yeah, I don't know. I kind of think that honestly, that's what they would need to do. They would either need to delete necro or maybe incorporate these ideas into the existing Necromancer class.
Yeah, I think that would be cool.
Thank you, Golden Elf, for writing in. Next email comes from Jerry. Jerry says, love your show. I appreciate you guys entertaining me while I work. So I have a question. Do you guys know a good stamina warden build for PvP Cyrodiil? Also, on a warden healer, I've been having issues with the Rite Master's bond set not proccing. Do you know of a good skill to make it proc better? Thanks again. You guys' show is the greatest. Thanks a lot, Jerry. So for a reminder for the Rite Master set, I didn't remember what this set does, but it's the 5-piece healing an ally within 12 meters with a direct heal creates a 15-meter tether between you for 10 seconds. You and the allies touching the tether are healed every second, scaling with your max magic and stamina. If you are an ally is overhealed, they gain minor heroism for 1.5 seconds. That's a mouthful, but basically it procs from a direct heal when someone's within 12 meters. And if you're on a warden, I mean, Polar Wind is the ability you want to be using. That's a direct heal. It's the best healing ability you have access to. It's exactly a 12-meter radius. So if you're hitting somebody with it, that means you're within range to be proccing it, you know?
Yep. So that's exactly. It. Your vines on the warden do it.
Okay.
If you're doing a resto staff, you could do combat prayer,
yep.
Healing ward. I've personally never used this set, so I'm not sure if it's like buggy or whatnot, maybe glitched, but yeah, Polar Wind by far would be the best option. You have to be close anyways, definitely inside that 12 meter radius restriction, so.
Yeah, if you're close enough to hit them with Polar Wind, you're close enough to proc the set, then yeah, so that's the one. It's perfect. As far as like a PvP stamina warden build, it's, you know, so much of what like a PvP build comes down to personal player preference.
It's hard. Stamina's in a hard, hard place, I feel.
Yeah.
I have one, though, one that we've used previously, but you just stack max HP, you know, like a lot of builds do these days. It's really good on warden, though, because... Speaking about Polar Winds, it scales off your max health, so we want thick, yeah. Girthy Polar Winds, and the way you do that is max HP.
Yeah.
So my stamina, I think it's sitting at like 50k HP whenever we're buffed up with our Death Dealer's Fate, however you want to pronounce it, but it's actually craftable sets. So I'm using Clever and Wretched, Death Dealers. Balorg, and you just want to camp your ult until you're ready to ult dump. And you're using Dizzy Swing, you're using your Executioner, Dawnbreaker, you get juiced up. I'm probably at like 7k weapon and spell damage. So, you could definitely clack somebody really quick.
Yeah, that sounds solid. I was going to say something a lot more generic, like if you're doing Cyrodiil open world, and especially if you're playing solo, I would think you'd just want a lot of stats, you know, just like a really good looking stat sheet so you can just have a lot of resources to handle whatever you come across. So just something basic like a Wretched back bar, Rally front bar, Bloodspawn monster set, and like Marken or Death Dealer mythic. You know, really bread and like kind of meat and potatoes build. You know, you're going to have a really, really good looking stat sheet. You're going to have great defense. You're going to have good offense, good sustain, you know, just very, very well-rounded build. Whatever weapon types, you know, you want. I like a bow back bar, Frostaff front bar. Even for a Stamden, you know, a Frostaff is a good choice because, you know, it's 12% boost to all damage done and you have that range. That's probably where I would start. Essential skills, you know, you need your armor buff. You need the Betty Niche. You need either a Camo Hunter or the Lotus for your crit buff, Vigor, Polar Wind, Sub Assault, you know, that kind of stuff. Thanks for writing, Jerry. Next email comes from our good friend, Dudagon. Shout out to Dudagon, the Xbox chapter of the Stoons Goons Guild leader. He says, he just says he wants to update us and the listeners on the Xbox Stoons Goons. We just had our third Goon Wars, this time with 24 people.
Ooh, they had enough for two.
I know. We can't, on PC, we can't even get signups for one. They're over here having two, like, parallel events at the same time. Crazy.
Dang, you go play Xbox, huh?
I'm saying. Dudagon says, super shout out to Mass Beauty. We had so many last minute cancellations and even no shows, and we still had six full teams. If only Zoss would allow us to control our own BG lobby. Yeah, no doubt.
Plenty of discussions late nights about that between the guild members. So.
For real. He says, our next Goon Wars has already been announced from 7 to 9 p.m. on Saturday, April 27th, and will be run by Masked Beauty and House. I've also been streaming the event on Twitch for anyone interested in watching. So, Ket, Dudagon says, once you are done with Dragon's Dogma 2, you should snag yourself an Xbox. I'm thinking about it, man. I'm thinking about it. These PC goons are boring. They're putting me to sleep. Not you, King. You're cool, man. You're cool.
It's okay.
Dudagon closes. He said, here's a question for you. If you could add one aspect of Dragon's Dogma 2 to ESO, what would it be and why? Dudagon. Easy. That's an easy answer. It's the companion system. In that game, they call them pawns, but they're essentially companions, and they're fully fleshed out. Like I think I mentioned it in the last podcast, the companions are better at the game than I am. They're like seriously really, really good, and you have just as much control over their build and everything as you do your own character. It's like it's just as fully realized as your character. It's the same exact menus and everything, and the same equipment and abilities and all that. So if we could make a companion system that's like on that kind of level in this game, I would actually be into companions in that case. So that's my answer. Thanks for writing in, Dudagon.
Still haven't played it yet.
Well, if you like, you know, single player open world RPGs, it's like very much like Wizards and Castles and Dragons and that kind of stuff. It's extremely good for that type of setting. It's very, very, very good.
That's my speed. That is my speed. So I think I'm going to pull the trigger on it here soon. Time, you know, is my main concern these days, is where do I want to spend my time that I have so little of.
Dude, that's a good one where, like, if you know you're going to have a weekend to yourself or even just like a day to yourself that you, like, you're going to be able to really dig in, that's when you do it. You know, pull the trigger, buy it, get your snacks and everything ready, like make a whole day and just like sink all the way in,
my,
you know, just
bucket.
Get totally absorbed with it. What's in the bucket?
Oh, you know, so I had to leave the room.
Yeah, get your bucket. Or you could just, you know, take your PC into the bathroom and just set it all up in there.
You know, I didn't think about that. Could do. Oh, then I could shower and yeah, that's good.
Get a mini fridge in there. We're getting this. It's all coming together. Next email comes from Chumpy. We got the weekly Chumpy email. Chumpy says, ahoy me scrollies. This week to feed my podcast thirsty ears, I stumbled upon another podcast just while I wait, scrolling still the top dog, which got me interested in sea voyages and the food therein. If you were a captain sailing to discover new lands in the 1500s, but had a portal to present-day food suppliers, What four main foods and one drink would you fill your hold with for a year, for a 2-year voyage?
That's a good question.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm going to be like way too practical and just be like, you know, rice and beans and, you know, stuff that's going to last for 2 years.
So
probably like a lot of rice and beans.
Are we only doing like individual food items like that, or are we doing like styles of food that we could fill the hold with?
What? Four main foods and one drink.
Foods, okay.
Well, I don't know.
Drink has to be rum. You know, we're on a voyage. It has to be rum.
I want fresh water to drink. Otherwise, we're all going to be dehydrated. So I'm going to choose fresh water because we're out on the sea.
What type of voyage is it? You have to do rum. Or mead.
I think Star Jumper
would say mead.
Hey. You guys are welcome to be dehydrated and dead halfway through your voyage. I'm going to be alive at the end with the treasure chest.
I think
rice and beans and water for me.
You're not going to be able to pick up the treasure chest at the end, man. But
we'll catch fish along the way to supplement, you know.
No, if I had to pick practically though, yeah, fresh water, rice and beans. Yeah, I mean, that's all you need, man. It's going to hold you over.
I don't know if we're really capturing the spirit of the question here, but anyway, thanks for writing, Jumpy.
Maybe substitute the water for apple juice. I think that'd be okay. Nice.
Okay. Now, I've heard too much apple juice is bad for your kidneys.
That is true.
So, you know, we're going to have to get the scientists in on this one, Chumpy. We'll get back to you. All right, King, who is your favorite email, man?
I think I like all of them. I'll give all of them. I'll split the difference.
$2 million apiece. Now, we got to pick one.
Ooh.
Okay, I'll tell you what. We can take out Danjevin because he donated the gold. We can take out Duttagon because he's a guild leader.
I would say Jerry. I think I'm going to go with Jerry.
I like Jerry. It's a theory crafting question.
Yeah, I like Jerry's. Good.
All right. Let me write that down.
No offense to everybody else. If you're on PCNA and Stoons Goons, message me. I'll mail you $2 million gold.
$2 million. You heard it here. Kingnar said your other emails suck, except Jerry's.
Well, since we got another influx of guild gold, does this mean I get a reset for the Stoons Goons daily pledge?
I'm going to have to think about that one. I'm going to have to think about that one. I don't know. I don't know if listeners really know about the daily pledge, but basically, if you can jump and land on top of the flagpole next to the Undaunted Enclave in Stormhaven on the first try while I'm watching, then you get $1 million gold. Once per lifetime.
I think there's only been 2 completionists of this.
I think it's you and KDMS
have done it. Yeah.
KDMS, like, it right away.
Yeah, he did it, like, for sure. I had to practice for, like, 4 hours one day to get it down pat, and then it's still by chance.
Yeah, KDMS can do it like anytime he wants, like on demand. He has like perfected it. I've never done it myself. It's so hard to do. For people who've never done it, it's a really tall thing that you cannot jump normally to get up there. It's way too tall. But there's a way that you can glitch on your mount and like launch yourself way up in the air, and it looks ridiculous. And if you do it just right, you can land on top of this flagpole. But it's hard to do. It's really hard to do. But a couple of people have perfected it. Anyway, thanks for writing, guys. scrollinpodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to write us any suggestions for the show, ask us any questions, say hello, shout out to a friend, anything you like, scrollinpodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to support the show, an easy thing you can do is open up the Apple Podcast app and give us a star rating, and especially a written review. Helps us out a lot. If you'd like to go a step further than that, you can go to patreon.com/scrollinpodcast. Sign up to receive Stoon's Boon for $3 a month. Get you access to a few things, including the Booncast, which is a solo shorter podcast that I do on the off week. So you get a little something every week. If you're in the guild on either PC, Xbox, or PlayStation NA, you can just drop stuff into the guild bank. Potions, crafting mats, gold, anything you want that you think might be helpful. It actually helps more than you might think. And the best thing that anybody can do is just join our community. Come hang out on the Discord and be our friend. Play ESO with us. Talk about ESO with us. Most of the stuff that we talk about here on the show starts out as conversations that we're having with our friends on the Discord. So that's the best thing anybody can do is just come join the Discord, scrollinpodcast@gmail.com to get that invite. We have a guild. The guild's name is Stoon's Goons. It is literally the best PvP guild in the game. I'm trying to do the plug from memory. It just so happens to be the best named guild on the PC NA server, and on the Xbox NA server, and on the PlayStation NA server. We're on all three. So if you'd like to join, scrollinpodcast@gmail.com is the place to go. If you're on a different platform, or if your guild roster is full, that's okay. The Discord is the true home of the guild, and everybody who's in the Discord is a fully-fledged goon. In-game membership is not required, so scrollinpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll get you that invite. Shout out to the chat, Grizzly Khan and FK. Thank you two very much for being here tonight. Good to see you both. Shout out to Uncle Sam, King Gnar, Sir Newbie, Maddie Quinn, a bunch of others. We've all just been playing a lot lately. 6-0, another one. Ironworks. We've all been playing a lot. It's been a lot of fun. Another shout out to Danjevin for the very, very generous gold donation. Thank you so much. And again, King Gnar. Shout out to you, man. Thanks for being here, dude.
Yeah, appreciate you.
All right, so I think that is the end of this podcast. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.